British Public Radio. Literature.
Adventures with Words is brought to you by Audible. Try Audible free for 30 days and download any audiobook for free. For your free trial, go to www.adventureswithwords.com/audible.
Hello and welcome to Adventures with Words, where we explore storytelling in all its forms. I'm Rob.
I'm Kate.
And we had a bit of a short break last week. Unfortunately, I was having a wisdom tooth removed, so I've come back weighing ever so slightly less. But I had to have a few days off, and during that time, amongst the painkillers, I couldn't really inflict daytime television on myself, so I actually did a lot of reading. So I thought, well, why don't we talk about the books that we've been reading lately and some of the ones that we've got that are coming out soon?
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done that. So we wanted to kind of update you with some of the things that we've read and enjoyed and some of the things that we've got coming up. So I'm going to kick off. The book which I most recently finished reading was something that I received from Hot Key Books. I just happened to see them talking about it and it looked really intriguing. And I asked if I might be able to read and review it. It's called Tall Tales from Pitch End by Nigel McDowell. He's a debut author. And this was something where he sort of started coming up with the characters while he was away in Australia, I think. And I absolutely loved it. This is probably the thing that I have read and reviewed for Adventures with Words, which I have enjoyed the most out of anything. I was absolutely stunned by it. Hot Key Books, it's sort of a young adult imprint. And I really like the fact that on the back, it's got a little sort of pie chart of the different things that you can expect in the book.
Oh, really? I haven't
yeah, seen it. It's a little graphic on the back cover. I think it's a really good idea. I don't see why all books can't have this.
That's quite clever, actually, yes.
So the things that it says it has in it, it's got kind of roughly a third adventure, and then it's got quite big chunks of dark magic and friendship with a little bit of steampunk mixed in as well. And this is how it describes it on the back. Bruno Atlas, you're a dark horse, aren't you? Following your father's footsteps, there's a task and a half. It's been 10 long years since Bruno Atlas's father was murdered by rebels in Pitch End, a dark, forbidding town of one-footed ravens and clockwork sentries ruled by the sinister elders. It's the only home Bruno has ever known. Yet Bruno has always felt that there is more to Pitch End than he's been told. And when he finds his father's old, battered copy of Tall Tales from Pitch End, that story begins to unravel and an astonishing adventure begins to unfold. And it says at the bottom, a dazzling, evocative story from a debut author with a unique imagination. Genuinely, I was blown away by this.
So that was pretty accurate, what they said.
Seriously, I was really, really amazed. The sort of clockwork aspects of it are really incredible. The idea, there's all this sort of creatures all over the place which are being kept alive somehow by clockwork, and they're kind of spying on the residents. It's really, really magical. The way that it's written, you can tell there's a kind of like sort of Northern Irish accent, but it makes it really sort of lyrical. And then the style is very sort of poetic, lots and lots of imagery, really, really descriptive. And it was a great story. I was properly really, really impressed by this. My review I've written up, and it's on the blog. You can, if you want to know more about it, you can read that. But yeah, I just thought it was absolutely fantastic. So I'm just so pleased that we got sent a copy. It was absolutely brilliant.
So the first one I've chosen, it's not out for till about the 18th of July. It's called I Am Pilgrim by Terry Hayes. This is a proof copy, so we're often quite lucky to get copies of books before they actually come out. And when I pulled this one out of the jiffy bag, they've made it look like a DVD box set.
Yeah, it's quite cool, actually.
It's got a 15 certificate on, and then it's sort of got six parts they look like DVD cases, but yeah. It also doesn't have anything written on the back of it. So you're not quite sure what it is. So I'll read you the blurb for this one. Can you commit the perfect crime? Pilgrim is the code name for a man who doesn't exist. The adopted son of a wealthy American family. He once headed up a secret espionage unit for US intelligence. Before he disappeared into anonymous retirement, he wrote the definitive book on forensic criminal investigation. But that book will come back to haunt him. It will help NYPD detective Ben Bradley track him down. And it will take him to a run-down New York hotel room where the body of a woman is found face down in a bath of acid. Her features erased, her teeth missing, her fingerprints gone. It is a textbook's murder. And Pilgrim wrote the book.
You see why it's a 15 certificate.
Well, yes. I've heard a lot about this. People have already read it and they're giving it 5 stars. It's quite a hefty book and they said it's a complete page turner. I can, you know, they're advertising it a bit like obviously like a film.
Yeah.
And you can see how it works. Very high concept. So I'm quite looking forward to this one. I want to get it read as quickly as I can.
I have to say, I really like the cover of the proof. When you take it out of the kind of DVD box set sort of jacket, the cover that they've done on it is like a CIA letter where it's been all, sort of blacked out. It looks really fun, and the graphic design is great. I think it's quite often a good sign where people have put the thought into the way that they've done that. Hopefully it's quite an interesting story.
Oh yeah, certainly when I sort of you look at this, it certainly grabs your attention when you pull out the jiffy bag, as they often come in.
Yeah,
I sort
definitely.
Of saw this. I did actually think for a second I've been sent a film.
which hasn't happened before.
No.
But
so that's out on the 18th of July.
Now, my book that I'm reading at the moment is actually something that we picked up a while ago when we were at Simon & Schuster last autumn, I think, wasn't it? And this was something where I was quite intrigued by it at the time. And I sort of started reading it, but then I don't know, I just kind of wasn't right in the right mood at the time. But it's called Black Roses by Jane Thin, and it's actually already out now. It came out in March. And it's quite unusual. Now, my policy on films is that if you put Nazis in it, it almost always makes it better.
Right. Okay.
Sure,
we could find an example that doesn't work on, but yeah.
Well, probably. But you know, it's not a good bit of Nazi in a film. And I don't often read sort of what you might call women's fiction. But this is something a bit different. This is Berlin, 1933. Warning bells ring across Europe as Hitler comes to power. Clara Vine is determined to be an actress. A chance meeting at a party in London leads her to Berlin, to the famous Ufa studios, and unwittingly into an uneasy circle of Nazi wives, among them Magda Goebbels. Then Clara meets Leo Quinn, who, in his undercover role for British intelligence, sees in her the perfect recruit to spy on her new acquaintances, using her acting skills to win their confidence. But when Magda reveals to Clara a dramatic secret and entrusts her with an extraordinary mission, Clara feels threatened, compromised, and utterly torn between duty and love. So this is not your typical women's fiction, and it's also not your typical war novel. I'm just over halfway through, and I'm really enjoying the style. I think it's very well written. It's a really nice balance between the sort of historical accuracy, but then also the kind of spying aspect of it. And you do get more than one narrator. You're not just with Clara, you're with Leo as well. So you've got the two perspectives. But it's really interesting seeing that kind of like pre-World War II build up, all the stuff that was happening in the backgrounds, because the thing that Clara gets recruited into is modeling for the sort of Nazi fashion style, because you know they can try to control every aspect of society. So first of all, she's going to be in a film, and then they come and take over the film studios and get rid of all the Jewish people working there, and it has to be all sort of Aryan films. And then Magda Goebbels wants her, because of the way that she looks, to be kind of one of the international faces, saying, you know, a German style is just as good as any other European style. And it was just a really unusual take on the thing. You know, you so rarely get the female perspective in war, particularly, the sort of female historical perspective. So I'm really enjoying it so far. I'm quite intrigued to see how it turns out. Yeah, it's very suspenseful. So hopefully it will keep on being quite good.
All right, well, fingers crossed for that one. I'm going to do 3 books in 1 now. talking about getting jiffy bags, these arrived in a cardboard box, which sort of gets your attention. Now, these are 3 books from Exhibit A, which are a new crime imprint. It's a new imprint from Angry Robot. It describes itself as a commercial crime fiction imprint focused on big ideas, big characters, and above all, big stories. So the first one we've got is Lawless and the Devil of Euston Square by William Sutton. This one that probably caught my eye the most. Before Holmes, there was Lawless. Before Lawless, the London streets weren't safe to walk. So as soon as I read that, I was a big Sherlock Holmes fan.
Yep.
This is before Sherlock Holmes. Then definitely interested in this one. Then the next one is Penance by Dan O'Shea. One dark secret is about to rip a whole city apart. Mm-hmm. these sort of next two have kind of got, I don't know, sort of there's a slight 50s sort of pulp throwback to the cover.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's got that, you know, it's obviously like the house style that they've adopted with the sort of big block capital title. And then across the bottom of the page, it's got the black strip with the writer's name on it.
And the last one is Wounded Prey by Sean Lynch, a Farrell and Kearns thriller. It's time to finish what he started. So, you know, these are, I like a bit of gritty crime, and I'm quite looking forward to these, certainly from a new imprint, sort of get the feel of sort of the books that they're interested in, the books that they're going to publish.
Mm. It's an interesting selection though, isn't it, actually?
Yes, there's a bit of everything there, I think.
My next one is again something a bit different. This kind of caught my eye because I read Hollow Pike by James Dawson last year. Really liked that kind of supernatural YA sort of relationshipy kind of thriller thing, you know, even in a school. And yeah, it was really good. That was really interesting, kind of Pendle Witch Trials and that kind of thing. But James Dawson, before he was writing full time, was a PSHE teacher, and that intrigues me because that's kind of what I do. So it was interesting reading Hollow Pike. I could kind of see, like, yeah, I can see that, you know, these are really realistic observations of teenage, you know, there was something I actually recognised, whereas sometimes when I read YA, I think about the teenagers and think, yeah, they wouldn't have done that. Whereas his actually were really convincing and like a proper sort of a proper real range of characters. But something that he's been working on is a book called Being a Boy. And as it says in the back, being a boy is hard. How can you possibly act cool and even think about pulling potential partners when your face is sprouting spots and you're hairy in places you didn't even know could be hairy? Luckily, Being a Boy provides an uncensored look at puberty, from the social food chain to sex, being a boyfriend, and everything guys need to know to survive, brutal honesty included. Not too dodgy for parents, but not too dry for teens. A perfect antidote to that Denise on This Morning. I think it's a really good idea to produce this kind of thing. I mean, Rob, I know you had a quick flick through it. Mm. There was a quiz that you were looking at that you thought was quite amusing.
A Being a Boyfriend quiz, and I didn't realise that the quiz was slightly rigged. So I was a bit distraught when the end result came out.
But I think it's a really good point. Actually, in school, a lot of the time, the people who teach PSHE, which is, for those who don't know, personal, social, health, and now economic education, are often women. Because it just tends to be women who take on those roles. And if there's a school nurse, that's often a woman. And it's quite unusual for there to be male experts for teenage boys to talk to. And this is obviously trying to fill that gap. It's something I'm going to take along to me with me to my next meeting of PSHE teachers and sort of share it with them. Because I really think this looks pretty good. I've had a bit of a flick through and I'm quite keen already, but yeah, there's already bits in it which I can imagine some of the boys that I work with finding quite useful. So yeah, that's a bit of a slightly different but definitely helpful recommendation. Perhaps if you're a parent of teenage boys, might be something to look out for. It's published by Red Lemon Press and it's due to be out in September this year, so I guess to kind of go along with the new school year.
The next one is one I actually requested. We often get sort of advance notice of books, and I saw this one. It's called Lexicon by Max Barry. Nothing is alive in there, just a word. And it's got a very distinctive, there's a blue eye staring out. And
it's very eye-catching.
This is out on the 20th of June, so that's this week. 2 years ago, something terrible was unleashed in an Australian mining town called Broken Hill. Thousands died. Few people know what really happened. Emily Ruff is one of them. She belongs to an elite organisation of poets, masters of manipulation who use language to warp others to their will. She was one of their most promising recruits until she made a catastrophic mistake. She fell in love. Will Park knows the truth too, only he doesn't remember it, and he doesn't know why he's immune to the poet's powers, but he knows he needs to run. As the stories converge, the past is revealed, and the race is on for a deadly weapon, a word, because the poets know that words can kill. Now, I did have a slight flashback to Monty Python in that they tell that sketch with the funniest joke that can kill you. But
yeah.
I think as concepts go, and as someone who's interested in words and writing,
I think that's
and speaking,
a really interesting
concept, I'm really intrigued as to where this is going to go.
Because, I mean, it's got all the kind of slightly horror, science fiction-y sort of aspects of it, but linked to language. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, what are the poets? Obviously, I don't know, are we going to find out what the word is? This is the power of language and how it can manipulate you. And So I'm quite looking forward to that one. That's why I requested it. I thought that as a premise, that sort of that hooked me straight away.
My next one is as one I requested actually, which is very good of them. It's kind of straight away as I heard the concept, I thought that sounds really interesting. I fancy that. And it's called Longbourn by Joe Baker. And on the front it says Pride and Prejudice, the Servant Story. As obviously, again, it's something where you always hear about the fine ladies of the family and the gentlemen and, you know, the people who have £10,000 a year who must be in want of a wife, etc. But you don't tend to think of what cook and housekeep and whatnot were up to in the background. But I guess with things like Downton Abbey, it sort of brought that aspect, upstairs, yes. Downstairs, the combination of the two and where they converge and overlap. So this is kind of a novelization and it's going behind Pride and Prejudice, which is one of my favorite books. I absolutely love Pride. I just think it's so funny. So I'm really looking forward to reading this and sort of looking at how they turn it around, you know, because they sort of shout at Hill, go and get the door sort of thing. So who is Mrs. Hill? What was she doing? What was her background to it? What was going on in the background while these silly girls were sort of falling in and out of love with these men?
We've just had Death Comes to Pemberley by P.D. James. That happens after Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, that's after Lizzie and Darcy are married and they're off, you know, living elsewhere.
So this is running parallel.
Yeah, so this is running parallel to Pride and Prejudice is what's going on in the background while the Bennets are meeting the Bingleys and the Darcys and so on. So it's sort of the alternative view of events sort of thing.
I can imagine what it's going to be like now, the gossiping and the thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And looking at who the people are. But it also, it's, I suppose, again, looking at a bit more of the sort of historical reality rather than just the sort of idealised party and socialising and so on and you know, going to Bath and whatnot, the sort of things that were really happening under the surface.
So as I was recuperating in bed with my painkillers and I wanted a book that sort of a comfort read, but I'd never actually read it before, but I've seen the film. So I read The Talented Mr. Ripley by Patricia Highsmith. So I think I've seen the film about once when it came out, but I had sort of visions of it's got Matt Damon and Jude Law in. So I thought, why not give it a go? And after a bit of a slow start, I really became a sort of a gripping page turner. Once the incident occurs, I'm trying to be careful what I say. Once Tom Ripley does his deed, it becomes this very interesting sort of reflection on once you commit a crime, how you have to keep committing crimes to keep what you've already got.
Yeah.
And for a book that came out in the 1950s, it's quite a good sort of psychological examination of someone. Ripley doesn't know who he is. And so I enjoyed it so much that I actually want to go and read the other Ripley books I weren't really aware of. There's like three or four other ones.
I didn't realise there were more.
Yeah. It looks like she had a bit of a gap, but she sort of returned to him after about 20 years.
Yeah.
And then there's a few more afterwards. And I'd never read any Patricia Highsmith. I knew that she was quite a psychological author. She's very much like what's going on inside in the criminal or the killer's mind. So that's quite a good read for someone who's, you know, lying in bed feeling sorry for themselves. It really sort of helped pass the time. And I found it, you know, for a book that's written in the 1950s, sort of almost still current.
See, I was coincidentally listening to someone talking the other day who was saying that it shares some of the same themes with Gatsby, actually, to do with kind of finding yourself and making your own identity, that kind of thing. But so, I mean, because I haven't seen the film, I've only ever kind of heard of it, and I haven't read the book. So, I mean, what would you say? I mean, obviously, this is a kind of more of a crime thing, isn't it?
It's definitely more of a crime thing. I mean, at the start, Tom Ripley who he's on his own and he kind of commits a few little crimes, but he feels incredibly guilty doing it. He commits some fraud almost to see if he can do it.
Yeah.
And then as it goes on, he's put in this position where he can commit a fraud, commit a murder, and he can't decide if he likes the person who's going to kill or it gets very complicated. He's suddenly put in this position where he's almost penniless to having a lot of money and living this lifestyle that he's not used to. And it's very clever. It's sort of, she plays with you as it's going on and you end up rooting for him.
So even though he's a criminal and even though he's
you kind of want him to get away with it. So he's an anti-hero, and that plays with you. That's why it's almost so fun.
I guess you root for Gatsby, don't you? Even though you realise that he's been up to no good.
Yeah.
In order to get where he's got, so. Oh.
But there's more in the series. They have been filmed. One of them came on later with John Malkovich as an older Ripley.
Right.
He's a con man. He's a liar. He's unsure of who he is. He's unsure of his sexuality. Hmm. And yeah, I was surprised at first.
It sounds quite progressive for something written in the 50s.
Certainly is. He comes across as a complicated character. So you get to know him and you sort of start to root for him. Hmm. And at first I thought it was a bit dated. But then I think once you switch into the period mode, it's watching it. There's lots of telegrams and telephoning people and writing letters. And I got swept up in the whole thing. So I'd really recommend it. Even if you've seen the film, it's a very sort of slightly different take.
Mm.
But I did struggle. I could see Matt Damon and Jude Law.
Well, I think that's the difficulty, isn't it? When, if you see the film first, then you are going to imagine them. You know, what I was reading Gatsby, having just watched the film, I was seeing them as DiCaprio and so on.
Hmm. But it's also just a good, like a good travel log. Like they're going around Europe, spending a lot of money, living a high life. That's kind of what appeals to Tom and why he wants to snatch it. So, I'm probably going to do a read them all in order. I'll probably chronicle that on the blog. So yeah.
Ah, sounds really good.
That was a pleasant surprise.
The only other thing I was going to mention today was something that we got, which again, I guess going back to the beginning of what we were saying, really caught both of our eye because of the way it arrived. Something called The Silent Wife by A.S.A. Harrison, which we got from Ben at Headline. But when it arrived in one jiffy bag. And then we took it out of the first jiffy bag, and what we saw looked like a prescription bag that you get from the doctors. And it says patient Kate and Rob, and then it says pharma dose clone tablets, 1 milligram. So each tablet contains take one at bedtime, and then in a little box it says, a very clever, very funny comedy of manners spliced with a domestic thriller. What a deliciously wicked pleasure, Kate Atkinson. Yeah, it contains The Silent Wife by A.S.A. Harrison. It was just so unusual.
If that had had just one of our names on, like your name, I would have handed that to you and gone, there's your tablets. Or if it had been me, I'd be like, what the hell have I got? Yeah. But they put both of our names on. That gave me the clue to start
with. Yeah, yeah. But I was like, wow.
That's very clever,
It's such a clever way of presenting it. And it's definitely caught my eye. It seems to be something where people are really impressed by it. But I think the lady who wrote it...
She's just passed away. Yeah.
And this is the only thing she wrote, which is very sad. But it's supposed to be really, really good. It's got loads of big recommendations.
Well, you've got endorsements from Kate Atkinson, Sophie Hannah, Tess Gerritsen, SJ Watson, SJ Bolton, Elizabeth George.
So it's come very highly recommended. So whichever one of us gets round to that first, hopefully we'll quite enjoy that one.
So in a moment we'll talk about our June Book of the Month. But first, we're excited to say that we're now a new addition to British Public Radio, which is a new commercial speech radio. You can find it at britishpublicradio.com, and we're on there now. You'll find us there under the books section, and obviously unless you're listening to us now on British Public Radio, thank you for joining us.
And if you're not listening to us on British Public Radio, do go along to the website, have a look at what else there is on there in case there's anything else that interests you. And we look forward to having you listen to us through that medium again.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, there's a number of ways you could do that. You can email us, contact@adventuresofthewords.com, or through the website, adventuresofthewords.com. We're on Facebook. We're also on Twitter, @WordAdventures. And you can subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review through iTunes.
So our June Book of the Month is May We Be Forgiven by A.M. Holmes. We've already popped a few things up on the blog to tell you about sort of who A.M. Holmes is, what the book is about, and a little bit about what the critics are saying about it. So we've got a bit more to come up on the blog, what other readers are saying about it, and we'll have our podcast coming up about it next week. So you've got a little bit of time, if you haven't read it yet, to read it. I will be reading it straight after I finish Black Roses.
I have started it, and I've got past the point where we read it when we were looking at the Women's Fiction Prize winner, because obviously it went on to win that, and it's got quite an explosive opening.
Yeah, it certainly has. I think that's something that a lot of people have commented on what a really explosive opening it had. But then apparently it keeps going at just as quick a rate. So I hadn't realised, but it was originally written, the opening, as a short story. Mm. And then she liked it so much that she kept going.
Well, I'm enjoying it as well at the moment, so fingers crossed that it will come together at the end. I've been Rob. You can find me on Twitter at Rob Chauvin.
I'm Kate at Magic Underscore Kitten.
And thanks for listening.
Adventures with Words is brought to you by Audible. Try Audible free for 30 days and download any audiobook for free. For your free trial, go to www.adventureswithwords.com/Audible.